Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
To span the globe. I like to go around the country, find out, are they doing what we're doing? Don't you? Don't you want to rubberneck a little bit on other states and go, okay, I'm in the grocery store, I've got a mask on. Are they wearing masks in the stores in Houston, Texas, for example? Brian Smith, columnist of the Houston Chronicle, friend of this show, talented sports columnist joining us. All right, you go into the store, what percentage of people have masks on in Houston, Texas?
I did curbside for the first couple of weeks when it was, you know, nobody was going out. I've been going to the store once a week, proudly, in the great American state of Texas, John. Once a week, ever since then, I wear a mask. The stores, I believe they're at 25%, maybe they're at 50%. Thus far, you know, I've been safe. I still think it's weird. It's crazy. It's kooky. It's uncomfortable, especially as it gets hotter and hotter, and we have, you know, 90-plus degree days here. But ironically, not to get political, but Houston and Texas specifically has been one of the most liberal states during all this, and some states, West Coast, not mentioning any names, have been much, much more conservative dealing with this. So it's been interesting to have lived in Portland for almost a decade, and have very fond memories of all the incredible things about Portland, Oregon, and the best coast. But to now live almost for a decade in Houston and in Texas, and to be here during coronavirus, and to in some ways benefit from the odd liberalism that's poured out during this, which is ultimately conservatism.
Yeah, and so when you go into the store, like, are half the people masked, or is everybody kind of doing
everyone.
That? Everyone.
Everyone.
Weird.
You know, I'd say, you know, 95%. The thing that they've done in credit, they don't have HEB there. What, you guys have Fred Meyer, right?
Sure.
Unless the pandemic got the Fred Meyer. but HEB, which is the Fred Meyer version in Texas, has done an amazing job of being ahead of the curve, flattening its own curve, and, you know, restricting access, but making you feel as safe as possible when you buy all their self-branded products. So I actually, you know, I don't know how this is all going to turn out. No one does, obviously. Maybe I regret this in a couple weeks and things turn for the worse. But I've actually felt incredibly safe in Houston and being in Texas, which I probably wouldn't have thought 10 years ago before I moved here.
Yeah, I'm glad people are wearing masks here. You're right. Here in the state of Oregon, I was in the store yesterday, and I'm looking around going, you know, hey, I'm protecting you by wearing a mask. Why are you not wearing, like, I'm looking around, and it's about 50-50.
No, it's actually good here. And it's been interesting because Houston, and you know, it's all state-dictated, right? But Texas has been at the forefront. I mean, it wasn't as crazy as Georgia or Florida at the start. But it's been at the forefront of gradually reopening for pro sports, you know, understanding that as serious, and it's obviously so serious and scary when it comes to the pandemic. But at the same time, I mean, if you shut down the national economy, the local, the state, the sports economy, you shut that thing down for 1 week and the implications are tremendous. You shut it down for 3 or 4 months. We still don't know the real ramifications of this, and we're dealing with the sports every day, and Houston and the state of Texas have actually been at the forefront of trying to kind of find a way progressively through this.
Brian Smith, Houston Chronicle columnist, is our guest. You wrote the other day that this would have been the perfect time for Russell Westbrook. What do you mean by that? What do you mean?
Russell Westbrook, in a lot of ways, James Harden's dealing with the same thing. I mean, in your world, Damian, you know, Lillard's kind of on the same level. although Portland's looking up at the playoffs right now, and I found his recent comments very, very interesting in many ways. But just think about Russell Westbrook. You know, I mean, he does the right thing in the sense of he dedicates himself to one city, one franchise, a small market in Oklahoma City. They finally, after Kevin Durant leaves and doesn't work with Westbrook, and they'd never had great teams with him, first round outs, he starts to change his game. He adapts. He pairs up with James Harden. He sacrifices. Russell Westbrook was playing just incredible basketball with the Rockets over the last few months. He had become better than James Harden. And all of a sudden, you know, the coronavirus hits, season's postponed, and this just would have been a perfect platform for him to continue to prove people wrong, to be with Harden, the leader of the Rockets, and he was playing so well, and he had changed his game. I think that was the biggest thing. You know, for years, all the talk about Westbrook was he was too strong-headed. He wouldn't listen to outsiders. He was going to be his way or nobody's way. And he stopped taking three-pointers. I mean, he was down to one and a half three-pointers a game, and he was still scoring 30 points a night. He was doing it old school. I think it would have been fascinating, John, to watch him in the playoffs. I think it's still going to happen, but this would have been his time to really show what he could do on that stage again.
Talking to Brian Smith, Houston Chronicle. You mentioned Lillard's comments, and I'm really interested in this because I kind of feel like the bad teams in the NBA, let's just say the non-playoff teams, if they're not going to have a legitimate shot to compete in this second wave of the season, what's the point of being out there?
I don't 100,000%. I mean, I could not agree with that anymore, and I wrote that a week ago, not specifically about Lillard and the Blazers, but I wrote that in general. Look, if the whole idea that you shut this thing down for safety, right? I mean, Rudy Gobert tests positive. That's what they shut it down. In retrospect, maybe they could have found some type of way. You had other players test positive. Gobert, I really feel like, got a raw deal in the short and long term because of that. But when it comes to the rest of the teams, the whole idea is we're going to shut this down for safety. We're not going to play basketball, more football, baseball, whatever, for safety. Why in the world would you bring back the New York Knicks? Why in the world would you bring back the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Atlanta Hawks? And if you look at the Blazers, I mean, I thought Lillard's comments were dead on. Maybe they're only going to have five regular season games. But if you're 3.5, 4 out, you've got a 2% chance to make it. You're going to practice for 4 weeks, 6 weeks. You're going to potentially put yourselves in harm's way, and the NBA is telling you going into that you basically have no shot to make the playoffs. So why would you spend those next 6 weeks, 8 weeks dealing with the stress, dealing with the potential of getting it when normally you wouldn't? You'd be staying at home. I 100,000% agreed with him, as bad as it might look and as frustrating as it might look. I just think there have been so many dominoes that have fallen because of this, and that's another thing. If the NBA wants to truly protect its players, they should probably only have 20 of the 30 teams come back, and of those last four, you're probably going to have to do a play-in tournament.
Why even come back? I mean, I know the answer. It's money. But
yeah,
aren't they better off? Like, the NCAA bagged the NCAA tournament. That was a billion-dollar hit. I mean, that's their thing. And they bagged that, and they said, look, we got to get focused on the fall of 2020 and not dwell in the spring. You know, they just shut it all down. The NBA is clinging to this bad timing, bifurcated season, whatever you want to call it. What's the real reason there? Is it all money?
I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not being cynical about it. There's the competitive part, right? I mean, hey, if you're the Lakers, if you're the Bucks, if you're the Rockets, if you're the Blazers, you know, and you feel like if you get back on the court, you would have a shot to do something magical and historical, in a lot of ways unprecedented. I mean, the season has never been paused like this at this point in the season. That part I fully understand. I mean, this is sports. But so much of this that continues to be presented, whether it's Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL, college football, whatever it is, it's such in a bubble. You know, all the tests you have to do and the quarantining and playing in Orlando and on. And if you don't have fans, it's going to be such an aberration to begin with, just that entire environment. I'm all for coming back. I believe that if they can come back, they should come back. But ultimately, John, I can say it's about sports, and I can say it's about competition and pride. It's only about money. I mean, it's only about money. It's about owners' money. It's about players' money. It's about the league's money. There's so much at stake, and I think that maybe fans are really seeing for the first time, we all know money drives sports and money drives the world, but if you're going to bring this back and play in Orlando and only have 20 or 30 teams and have some accelerated postseason, pool play, whatever you're going to do, you're only doing that ultimately because you don't want to lose billions and billions of dollars.
Brian T. Smith, Houston Chronicle columnist with us. All right, the NFL season. Is this in jeopardy? Are fans going to be in NFL stadiums? What are you guys talking about when it comes to the Texans and the NFL?
The NFL has been the anomaly this far. There's no way around it. So much of it's luck, and this is how it goes with the NFL. I mean, the NFL can have domestic violence issues. The NFL can have suspensions. It's had serious criminal issues over the last couple of weeks, and the NFL always gets by. The NFL is king. The NFL has its shield. And so just by luck, just because of when the coronavirus hit and the scheduling, they were able to have the draft. It was virtual. It was different. I thought the draft was a phenomenal success overall, simply because they were able to have it and able to dominate TV because of it. And you know Goodell, and you know those owners, and you know NFL teams. You covered the NFL before. If the NFL can find a way to play games, they will be, and no one else can, the NFL will find a way to do it. And if anyone can get fans in the stands, even if it's 25%, the NFL will find a way, because the NFL always does.
Brian T. Smith, Houston Chronicle. Tom Brady in Tampa. Does that work? Is it a success? Are they a contender? Or is this just a nice, fun story to fill our summer?
I mean, it's a great question. I don't want to say anything too idiotic in late May with you know, the coronavirus. I mean, God, if I end up one of those, you know, there's nothing definitive to say there. I'm sorry. I mean, he's theoretically, I'm not going to say he's too old. He's theoretically old enough, right? I mean, at some point, Tom Brady will stop being Tom Brady. You have all the changes. He's never played, you know, without Bill Belichick. Does Gronk still have it? It sounds cool. Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians is a super cool hip coach. What if they have a falling out midway through the season? Tampa Bay's added so many pieces that rarely works in the NFL. I mean, all these different things. Ultimately, if I had to bet, I think they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to be great. I could easily be wrong on that. Maybe they win the Super Bowl, but that's never really happened in modern NFL history to have that much change. A quarterback do what Brady's done, and for it to all work out with a Super Bowl title.
J.J. Watt, what's going on with him? He's such a key part of that Texans team.
Yeah, he is, but here's the thing. I've written about this a lot. I love J.J. Everyone loves J.J. J.J.'s got a national TV show with Tag, which I'm not too crazy about. I think it's, you know, pretty lame, whatever. He's got a TV show. Great for him. J.J. Watt could be the mayor of Houston, and he very well may one day. He may end up, you know, in the revamped Hollywood, he could be the next Arnold. He's smart. He's savvy. He's been an incredible athlete. But J.J. Watt's career for the last 4 years, three of them have been defined by major season-ending, season-altering injuries. You look at guaranteed money, it's not there for him anymore. He's getting older. He's entering his 10th year. This is Deshaun Watson's team right now. Deshaun Watson is the face of the Texans. This is a huge, I mean, I can't say it large enough, this is a huge, huge year for J.J. Watt, for his career, for his future in the NFL. If he's injured again, I could see him walking away. If he has an all-pro type year, which he had only a couple years ago, they extend J.J. Watt, and he plays his entire career and becomes the first true lifetime Texan and goes in the Hall of Fame eventually as the first true Houston Texan. I mean, this is a franchise that hasn't even been around 20 full years yet, but on the field, it's been missing for him for far too long, and in NFL terms, he's getting paid way too much money right now for the lack of production he's having. Maybe that changes this year, but this is a huge pivotal career for Watt, not just in terms of 2020, but in terms of his long-term future with the Texans and in the NFL.
Stay safe, Brian T. Smith. Keep that mask on. I'll see you down the road. Thanks for making time
for
us.
Thanks for having me on, John. I appreciate it. Take care.
You bet. Read him in the Houston Chronicle. Follow him on Twitter. Really interested. I mean, really good stuff, on, especially on the NBA, I think, with Russell Westbrook and the Rockets. I just think it's unfortunate for the NBA that this pandemic hit at a point where you were about 16 or 18 games from the end of the regular season. It just hit at the wrong time for the NBA. And the NBA had to pull teams off the court. The NBA didn't have the luxury of the NFL was saying, hey, we got time to do this. We can still hold our draft. It just worked for the NFL in a way that it didn't for the NBA because of the timing. I agree with those who say that you could finish this regular season and hold some kind of tournament if it's closure that you're after, all right? But we really know they're after money. So they want to play as many of these games. They want to bring the teams back. They want to have training camp. The players want money. The owners want money. Fans are going, okay, we're watching the WNBA draft. Yes, we'll take an NBA game. Of course, we'd like to see a finish to the season because we'd like for something to be going on. But if I'm Adam Silver, aside from maybe holding a let's just in a 2-week period hold a single elimination tournament, I just wonder if you're trying too hard to make this happen. And I support players like Damian Lillard who are coming out and saying, look, if we don't have a real chance to make the playoffs, I'm not going to go out on the court. Todd in Damascus has called in. Todd, you got a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. Thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
I know everybody's saying that it's driven around money, but my question, if all the games are going to be held in Orlando with no fans, I mean, I know there's TV money, but where's money coming from?
Yeah, it's got to be TV money that they're after. And I think what you're going to probably see is you're going to see teams that have already lined up for different sorts of government subsidies to pay their employees. Like, I think it was a great story that a lot of the teams came out and said, look, we're going to continue to pay our employees. But I think you also simultaneously had teams sort of going around and around on that and going, yeah, we're going to pay these employees, but we're also, you know, it wasn't out of the goodness of their heart in a lot of cases. It was out of the fact that they were also being subsidized. The television money in the NBA is substantial. I asked Chris McGowan, the Blazers president, is that enough? He said, you need the revenue from ticket sales. So I don't know what happens there. And it's in part to Todd's question. I think that the teams that are the non-playoff teams are probably sitting around going, look, we have no ability to earn revenue into the playoffs. We're not going to be part of that equation. We have no chance to win a championship. Why are we risking all of this? Why are we going to end up upside down having to partake in these games? I think if the games are happening in Orlando, perhaps their overhead isn't what it would be with their games happening in various arenas around the country. Perhaps the travel's not there, so that expense isn't there. I know it's substantial when you're bringing a team on a team charter from city to city to city and hotels, and so maybe all of that is being offset by, you know, Orlando and Walt Disney World saying, look, bring the event here. We're comping all the rooms because the hotels are empty anyway. You've got no travel expenses. And in that, I think you could probably get profitable just on television money. But to Chris McGowan's point with the Blazers, he essentially said, look, with that television revenue is great. It's substantial. But without the ticket revenue, you can't hold NBA games in their current format. You can bet that they've got that figured out if they're going to go to Orlando. Andre's in Portland. Andre, what's your question?
I got a dumb question, John.
No dumb questions.
Since the season is all, it's basically over as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
There's an asterisk as far as I'm concerned. Why don't they just play a March Madness type of tournament and just have 16 teams, 20 teams, whatever, just play some kind of tournament where everybody gets a chance to host some games or to play some games. They ain't going to host anything if it's all going to be in Orlando. But this current format, I don't want to see the number one Lakers and the number two Nuggets play while the Blazers are only three games out. They don't have a chance to play. Let more teams in and play some type of tournament.
Yeah,
this is a special year, so do something different. I'm all in on that. I'll watch that. I'll pay money to watch that.
You're like Mark Cuban then, because Mark Cuban has come out and said, let's do a play-in tournament for the last two positions, or let's do a tournament that would be all of the teams. I'm all about that. I think the pushback that they're getting is from teams like the Milwaukee Bucks and the Lakers and the Clippers, who are going, hey, we had a real chance to win a championship. We are 65 games invested in being the one seed in the Eastern Conference if you're the Bucks. And we are 63 games invested in being the one seed in the Western Conference if you're the Lakers. And I think so, the Lakers and Bucks and Clippers and maybe the Nuggets and, you know, are sitting around going, hey, we're contenders. What, you know, Toronto's probably saying it too. We're contenders. There's a competitive, what have we done? We just wasted, you know, 65 games to play a tournament. I agree with Andre. This is a different animal. We've never seen anything like this. Why try to pretend that it's not happening and bring everybody back? You got the bald-faced truth. Our big splash is coming up. Harold Reynolds coming up in just a couple minutes. Major League Baseball Network, Fox Sports. We'll talk baseball. The NBA has some news, and it is the subject of today's Big Splash.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where? Down there.
Must be
the Big Splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, Commissioner Adam Silver in the NBA has calls set with the league's GMs for tomorrow and the Board of Governors, the owners, on Friday. They're continuing to discuss variations of plans that include a play-in tournament, pool play bracket, and regular season games moving into the playoffs. The NBA has yet to formally rule out the idea, but teams have become increasingly skeptical of the league bringing back all 30 teams to complete the season. This per ESPN. The playoffs plus idea would include 20 to 24 teams, include more teams from the Western Conference than the Eastern Conference, including teams like New Orleans and Portland and San Antonio and Sacramento. They would be invited because they are vying for the postseason. Also, the NBA and the Players Association is discussing a plan that would allow limited family members to join the players in that Orlando bubble environment. Those conversations have centered around the timing of family arrivals, which are likely to start, according to ESPN, once an initial wave of teams are eliminated and the number of people within the bubble is decreased. Family members, by the way, would be subjected to the same safety and testing protocols as everyone else living in that biosphere. It's like a movie. So hard to put this together. At some point, you got to wonder, is it worth doing it? Come on, just invite the playoff teams, let them play in a tournament, call it a season. Harold Reynolds, Major League Baseball, coming up. We'll talk about MLB to PDX.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.